If you could turn again, please, to a passage Dr. Douglas read for us earlier, Acts chapter 16. Acts chapter 16. And before we consider God's word, let us seek his face together in prayer. Let us all pray. Our loving Father, we continue in thy presence in our Saviour's name. We give thanks again for that great love that we have been singing about, that love that is saving love, love that reaches down and lifts sinners up. We give thanks for that love that is love that keeps us until the end. We give thanks that your word tells us of the Saviour, that having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them on to the end. We pray for those this night who do not know the Saviour's love, and they are far from him and without thy presence and without hope, and perhaps without any concern. We pray that by the Spirit that you would work in their hearts and lives, and take thy word and apply it to their hearts. We give thanks that what we have before us is the word of God, that it is truth, eternal and unchangeable. We pray that thy word itself would speak to each and every heart. Pray that you would give us a heart and a mind to understand thy truth. We pray for the power of the Holy Spirit to speak well of Christ. We pray that we would see him by the eye of faith. We pray that sinners would receive him as Saviour and as Lord. We pray for the cleansing of our sin. We pray for thy presence to abide with us as we consider thy truth. These things we ask for Jesus' sake. Amen. The Bible tells us in the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 6 and verse 5, "And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy might. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy might." And to love the Lord with all of our hearts, we need to have our heart changed by a miracle of the Lord himself. The Bible tells us that as sinners we are born into this world with hearts, with a spiritual being, with a soul that is corrupted by evil, so that we do not love God. We do not believe his word. We are taught in the book of Ezekiel, chapter 18 and verse 31, that we need a new heart. Ezekiel 18 and 31 tells us, "Cast away from you all your transgressions, whereby you have transgressed, and make you a new heart and a new spirit. For why will ye die, O house of Israel?" Your old sinful heart with which you were born needs to be transformed. You need a new heart that loves the Lord, that obeys his word. Without a new heart, you will die spiritually. Without a new heart, you have no peace with God. Without a new heart, you will surely one day be in hell. That is what it means to be born again. God works a wonderful miracle that gives to the sinner a new heart. It's described in the book of Ezekiel, chapter 36, verses 26 and 27. The Lord says, "A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you. And I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give unto you a heart of flesh, And I will put my spirit within you, and cause you to walk in my statutes, and ye shall keep my judgments and do them. And tonight we have read of a lady who had this great miracle done in her heart. She lived in a city called Philippi. The Apostle Paul, he came preaching the gospel in that city. He traveled to many places as he preached the word of God. We read in Acts chapter 16 from verse 1 to 8 of Paul traveling to many different places preaching the word of God. And then in verses 9 and 10, we learn of how the Lord called Paul to preach in a region called Macedonia. Verse 9 says, "And a vision appeared to Paul in the night. There stood a man of Macedonia and prayed him, saying, 'Come over into Macedonia and help us.'" He was calling Paul to help them. And how was Paul going to help them? He was going to help them by preaching the word of God. And it is the preaching of Jesus Christ and the preaching of Christ alone that can do any good to helpless sinners in this world. People lost in darkness, without hope for life and without hope for eternity. There's only one help for helpless sinners, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. We read in verse 10 that Paul and those with him, they immediately make plans and preparations to go to Macedonia. And it says that assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us for to preach the gospel unto them. And so they travel to Macedonia, they enter, verse 12 tells us, the city of Philippi. And then we read in verse 13, "And on the Sabbath we went out of the city by a riverside where prayer was wont to be made, and we sat down and spake unto the women which resorted thither." On the Sabbath day, Paul goes out of the city to a river, to a place beside the river where people met to pray, and there were ladies gathered there at that place. And there it was, beside the river on the Sabbath day, that God did a wonderful miracle in the heart of a lady called Lydia. Verse 14, "And a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple of the city of Thyatira, which worshipped God, heard us, whose heart the Lord opened, that she attended unto the things which were spoken of Paul." The Lord opened her heart. She was changed completely. And she was changed forever. I'd like to think about this lady tonight. The lady whose heart the Lord opened. The lady whose heart the Lord opened. We can notice, first of all, about her, the life she lived. The life she lived. We think about her life before she came to know the Lord Jesus Christ. And we can say about that life that it was an industrious life. She was industrious. We read of her in verse 14. It says that she was a seller of purple of the city of Thyatira. This lady sold clothing materials that were expensive. Rich people wore purple clothes. Acts chapter 16 verse 19 tells us that the rich man wore purple. And it is believed that the purple color came from fish that were crushed to make a purple dye. And Lydia, she may have sold the purple dye, or she may have sold the material that was dyed with the purple. But whatever it was that she was doing, she was involved in a trade that required effort and skill and dedication. She was involved in hard work. She came from a city called Thyatira, which was quite a distance from Philippi. For whatever reason, she had traveled that long distance to begin a new life in Philippi, and she had worked hard. It seems that she had had a degree of success in her business. She had a house in Philippi. Her business is mentioned here. She had worked hard, she had worked in an honest trade, and she had had some success. And it is good to work hard to meet our needs, the needs of our families, through honest employment. The Bible tells us that we should work hard, that honest work is good for us, for our families, for our community, for our nation. It is commended in the Word of God that we should work hard in whatever it is that we have to do in life, whatever honest employment we have to do, we should do it with all of our might. But hard work will not give you peace with God. To work hard, to be successful, that is good. But it will not take you to heaven. Being a hard-working, honest person will not take away your sins. Lydia worked hard. She had some success in business, but she wasn't saved. She was still a sinner under the wrath of God, still going out to hell. And that could be you tonight. You work hard, an honest person. You've had a measure of success in your employment or in your business, and that is good, but you're still not saved. You still don't know the Lord in your heart. Your sins are still not forgiven. You've still no hope for eternity. You need to be saved. You need to be saved this night. We could say of her life before she was saved that she was industrious. We can also say that she was religious. We're told in verse 14 of Lydia, and a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple of the city of Thyatira, which worshipped God. She was religious. She desired to worship God. She wanted to know the Lord. She tried to worship him. That is why we read of her being there on the Sabbath day, in that place beside the river where the ladies had met to pray. She sought to reach out to God. She sought to worship him in the best way that she knew. And when God created man, he made us to worship him. This is the purpose of our lives on this earth, to worship God, to be in fellowship with God, to bring glory to his name. And even though we are sinners who are fallen and corrupted, there remains within our hearts that desire to worship because we are spiritual beings. And yet that desire has been corrupted and twisted and distorted by our sin. And so people today worship many things. They worship idols. Some people worship power and money and success and fame. There are others who worship pop stars and singers and football teams and football players. There are those who worship their ancestors. There are even those who worship the devil himself. But we have a desire to worship, because God made us spiritual beings to worship him, to bring glory to his name. Lydia was seeking to worship the true God. She joined herself to a little group of Jews. And it would seem that the Jews in Philippi did not have a synagogue to worship in. And so they worshipped by the riverside. She'd never heard about the Lord Jesus Christ, but she was seeking to worship in the way that she thought was right, according to what she knew from the Old Testament. And it's good to desire to worship God. It's good to gather in a place like this on the Sabbath day, a place where prayer is offered, a place where the truth is taught. But it's possible to try to worship the Lord even in a place like this and yet still not know the Lord. Maybe, like Lydia, you've been searching for the truth, seeking to worship God, seeking to know him. Lydia had come to a place where she would hear the truth that day. The Lord had sent the Apostle Paul to teach her the way to God, the way to peace and forgiveness through the Lord Jesus Christ. Even though she was hardworking, even though she was industrious, even though she was honest, even though she was religious, the Lord had a message for her that she needed to be saved. She needed to repent of her sins. She needed to trust in Christ. She needed to receive the Lord into her life and surrender all to him. You could be like her tonight. Someone who seeks to worship God, regularly attends the house of God, honest, hardworking, decent, respectable, and yet a sinner without God and without hope, and going out into darkness. And tonight, just like Lydia, you need to be saved. We have the life that she lived. But as we think about this lady whose heart the Lord opened, we have the miracle she experienced. The miracle she experienced. We are told in verse 14 that the Lord opened her heart. This was the marvelous miracle. The Lord opened her heart and he changed her forever. And this miracle she experienced, we can say that she experienced it as she heard the word. As she heard the word. Verse 14 tells us that she heard what was said by Paul and those who were with him. And a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple of the city of
Thyatira, which worshipped God, heard us.
She heard the preaching of God's word. She heard the preaching of the truth. She heard that glorious message that sinners can be saved through faith alone in the Lord Jesus Christ alone. And as she heard the word, something wonderful and amazing happened in her life. Verse 14 tells us, whose heart the Lord opened. As she listened to the preaching, God opened her heart that had been full of sin and corruption, her heart that was far away from God, her heart that was lost and in darkness. God opened her heart as she listened to the word.
And only the Lord can open your heart. Only the Lord can open your heart and cause you to repent of sin and believe on Christ. It is the Lord who alone can work in our hearts. We cannot change our own hearts. We cannot change our own lives. There's nothing that we can do to purge away our own sins. Yet it pleases God to work in hearts through the preaching of his word. That is why it is so important and blessed to come to a place where you hear the word of God. As she heard the word, her heart was opened. God alone can open your heart, and it pleases him to work through the preaching of his word. As we read in Romans 10 and 17, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And yet as you hear the word, as we know that only God can open our hearts and change our hearts, the word tells you of your responsibility to give your heart to Christ. We read of it in Proverbs chapter 23 and verse 26. My son, give me thine heart. As you hear the word, that is the command of God. To give your heart, to yield your heart, to surrender all to Christ. As you hear the word, God reminds you of his command to repent and to believe, to surrender all, to give your heart to Christ. May it happen to you as it happened to Lydia as she heard the word. She experienced the wonderful miracle of the Lord opening her heart. We could also say of this miracle that she experienced, it caused her to obey the word. It caused her to obey the word. When the Lord opened her heart, when he performed this wonderful change, he gave her faith to believe the truth. He gave to her a new heart. And as a result of this miracle, we are told, she attended unto those things which were spoken of Paul. Her heart was completely transformed. She not only listened to what Paul preached, but she understood what Paul preached. Not only did she understand what he preached, but she obeyed and followed what she was taught. And what did Paul preach? We're not told the exact words that he used, but the New Testament tells us what Paul preached. We can read the epistles that were recorded by his hand. In Romans chapter 1, verse 16, the apostle says, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. Paul preached the Lord Jesus Christ. He preached that the Lord Jesus Christ alone is the Savior of sinners in this hopeless world. He preached that the Lord Jesus Christ is God, infinite and eternal and unchangeable. He is God, truly God, equal with the Father. He taught that he is truly man, that he lived as a man, a sinless, spotless life upon this earth. He preached that as a man he died for the sins of his people. He took all of the punishment of God the Father against sin. He took the place of his people. He poured out his precious blood to purge away our sins and to bring us into peace with God. He preached that he has risen from the dead, that he is alive, that he lives today in the power of an endless life. And he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. He preached that we are saved when we place our faith in Christ, when we believe on him with all of our heart. He preached that we are saved when we repent of our sin, when we acknowledge our sin, when we turn from our sin and turn from our sin unto God. This was the message that Lydia heard. This was the message that she believed. This was the message that she obeyed. God opened her heart to receive this glorious message. The Apostle Paul speaks of the heart being changed and surrendered to Christ in Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 10. He says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. It is a matter of the heart. Where is your heart tonight? In what state is your heart? Who has control of your heart? What do you love in your heart tonight? May the Lord open your heart. May he open your heart to realize that without Christ you're without hope and you're lost forever. May he open your heart to realize that in Christ there is hope, there's peace, and there is eternal life. And you will know when he has opened your heart, because like Lydia, then you will obey his word. So we have the life that she lived before she was saved. We have the miracle that she experienced. And then there's one further thing. We have the change she displayed. The change she displayed. Her life was changed by what the Lord did in her heart. And this change was visible, was seen in her life. It was seen by her identifying with the Lord Jesus Christ. She identified with the Lord Jesus Christ. We read in verse 15. And when she was baptized and her household. She was baptized. She publicly identified with the Lord Jesus Christ. Her baptism proclaimed publicly the work that the Lord had done in her heart. It was a sign that she had trusted in the Lord for the forgiveness of her sins, and that the Lord is faithful to cleanse away the sin of all who trust in him. When she was baptized, she showed that she was leaving her old life behind. She was leaving her old religion behind. She was now going to follow Christ all of the way. She was not saved by being baptized. No one is saved by their baptism. But it was an outward sign of the glorious work that God had done in her heart. She was changed on the inside, and it was visible on the outside. She identified with the Lord Jesus Christ. Her heart was changed. And not only was her heart changed, but her home and her family was changed also. We read that her household was baptized. The work that the Lord did in her heart did not stop with her. But because the Lord had opened her heart, she became a witness to her family. She was able to instruct them and teach them in the things of the Lord and tell them of the Lord Jesus Christ. When the Lord opens your heart, when he comes into your life, he changes your home. You become a witness to your family. You can speak the truth to them, and the Lord can work in their hearts also. When the Lord opens your heart, when he transforms your soul, you will identify with the Lord Jesus Christ. You'll not be ashamed of him, but you will follow him. You will honor him. You will identify with him in this sinful world. The change that she displayed, it was seen in her identifying with the Lord Jesus Christ. It was also seen in her working for the Lord Jesus Christ. When our hearts are opened, when our lives are changed, we desire to work for the Lord. Verse 15, and when she was baptized and her household, she besought us, saying, if you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come into my house and abide there. And she constrained us. She wanted to help the Apostle Paul and those who were working with him. She asked them to stay at her house so that she could provide for them and care for them while they were in that city. And she was very determined to do that work. It says, and she constrained us. She did this work with all of her heart. She did it with commitment. She did it out of love for the Lord. He says, if you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come into my house. She continued with that work even in difficult times. As the chapter continues, we read of Paul and Silas being put in prison in Philippi. We read of the conversion of the jailer, and then we read of the magistrates bringing Paul and Silas out of prison and asking them to leave the city. Verse 39, it says, and they came and besought them and brought them out and desired them to depart out of the city. And they went out of the prison and entered into the house of Lydia. And when they had seen the brethren, they comforted them and departed. Here was Paul and Silas coming out of prison and again being
welcomed into the house of Lydia, even as they took their leave of the city. She was prepared to continue to work for Christ, even in difficult circumstances. Even when the cause of Christ had become controversial and difficult in that city. Even when Paul and Silas had been imprisoned. Even when there was all kinds of ridicule and attack and shame associated with following the Lord. She was still prepared to work for him. Even though it would cost her in her life and in her reputation. And what an example she is of how we should serve the Lord. The Lord has work for us to do for him, those of us who are saved. We should do the very best work that we can for him. We should serve him with all of our heart and soul and mind and strength. He's changed our hearts. He's saved us from going down to hell. He gave his life. He shed his blood for us. And why should we not then give our life to work for him? Give our heart to love him. Give our lips to speak for him. Give to him all of the strength and energy and power that we have to do whatever work he calls us to do for him. And we can work for him in every part of our lives, in the home, as Lydia did. The work that we do day by day, the employment that we are involved in, how we behave in our families, and even as we go about the community, we can work for Christ in many ways. Work for him by supporting the work of the church, attending the meetings, praying for those who will preach the word. Lydia had been changed, transformed by the power of the Holy Spirit working in her. She identified with the Lord and she worked for him. I wonder, have you experienced that change? That wonderful change? That irreversible change? That change that made all of the difference in Lydia's life? That turned her from one who was in darkness and did not know the truth to one who knew Christ and who lived for him? I wonder, has your heart ever been opened? Or is your heart still closed? Is it still hard? Still in darkness? Still without Christ and still without hope in this world? This night, as we preach the word, the Good Shepherd calls the lost to come to him. He's still working through the preaching of his word. He's still calling sinners to come to him. He's still calls for sinners to repent of sin and to believe on Christ. And if you hear his voice, harden not your heart, but yield your heart to him. Surrender your heart to him. He will take that yielded heart of yours and he will make it new. He will cleanse away your sin. He will take away the darkness. He will bring light. He will take away the hopelessness. He will bring his peace. He will take away the doubt. He will bring his presence into your life and you'll be changed forever. Do not harden your heart against him as he speaks, as he calls. As you hear that call to your heart and soul, may you yield all to him. May you experience this marvelous miracle that Lydia experienced when her heart was opened. And like her, may your life be changed forever. And may you then rise up and follow Christ and serve him with all of your heart. Amen.